In a moment, Victor Thorne, Lisa Giuliani, no relation to Rudy, as we talk about another theory of 9/11 on Coast to Coast AM. Victor Thorne, Lisa Giuliani, the co-hosts of Wing Television, which is a daily online television and radio show. Victor Thorne is the founder of the Boyd Victor Sisyphus Press. I hope I got that right. And the author of such books as The New World Order Exposed, 9/11 on Trial, and the recently released 9/11 Evil. Lisa Giuliani is also the author of The New World Order Illusion and The Hunters of the Soul. They are the co-authors of Phantom Flight 93, which deals with the Shanksville crash. They returned this afternoon from Ground Zero, New York City, where the fifth anniversary of 9/11 was being commemorated. They are our guests this half hour on Coast to Coast. Victor and Lisa, hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good,
thanks for
Victor.
Having us on.
Hi, Lisa. George. Did I get that right, the name of your press?
Sisyphus.
How do you pronounce that?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus. I came close.
You're real good. Better than most.
Hey, tell me about Ground Zero today. What was the feeling out there when you
were it was quite a bit different. We were up there last year for the fourth anniversary, and I would say there was only, at best, about two dozen people that were actual 9/11 truth seekers. This year, there were hundreds, maybe even bordering on 1,000. So it's you know, tenfold, a hundredfold from last year, and it was just great to see this much renewed interest or increasing interest in 9/11 truth.
We were very proud of the large attendance of 9/11 truth seekers at Ground Zero. We were very gratified.
Yeah, and George, I know there's a lot of new people to this movement or just finding out, and a lot of them ask, well, where can we find good information? I just like to guide everyone, if they go to our homepage at www.wingtv.net, we listed what we feel are the best books and videos over the last 5 years, and I think it's a real good starting point for those people that are just new to this movement or having their eyes open. So I think that's a good place to start.
If you believe polls, it is growing. According to MSNBC, now some 44% of the people polled there believe that either the government was aware of what was happening with 9/11 or some of them were even a part of it. 43% said no way. Another 14% said we simply don't know. Why do you both feel at least those numbers are going up?
Well, because the truth matters in this, because of the internet and because of so many good 9/11 researchers and so many people in the alternative media, we're getting this information out there to a wider audience. And we're just talking today at Ground Zero that with the Kennedy assassination, this took, you know, a decade for this kind of information to get out this widespread, where now it's only taken 5 years, and it's just a testament to so many people who want the truth in what is the greatest terrorist attack ever against this country.
Right, and people are losing faith with the mainstream media and have lost considerable faith in the government.
You know, a lot of us have our own theories on what we think happened, who might have been involved, and, you know, maybe all of us may have pieces that are right. Maybe all of us are wrong. I don't know. But in your particular case, what happened after 9/11 for both of you to start saying, I don't think this is the version, something is different here? What were the episodes?
Well, I mean, with me, it was literally from day one. I have a good buddy out in Los Angeles that emailed me the morning of 9/11 and already was laying out some of the facts that didn't add up in comparison to what he was seeing and hearing in regard to the government's official version of events. So this was, for me anyways, and shortly thereafter for Lisa, we started publishing articles about 2 months after 9/11. So right from the start, there was a core group of people that realized that what we were being told wasn't the whole story.
David Hawkins was just on right before both of you. His theory is there was some kind of insurance scam involved and also a way to try to bring down the government of the United States. Part of that could be accurate. Maybe all of it is accurate. I don't know. I guess both of you in your research also showed that somebody somewhere made a lot of money on this thing.
Well, we heard what he said, and I don't know how much I buy the entire scenario, but in the latest book we put out, George, 9/11 Evil, and this is a very taboo subject, but what we really cover is something that almost nobody, well, nobody in the mainstream media covers, and almost nobody in the alternative media, and that's Israel's central role in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And, you know, if people, if you'd ask 100 people on the street who were the first individuals arrested after 9/11, I'll bet you 99 would say, well, Arabs were. But in reality, the first people arrested after 9/11 within hours were Israelis, and these were the infamous dancing Israelis. And if we have some time, I'd like to just cover this briefly because it's one of the most taboo subjects, but I think central to really who was involved in this whole terrorist attack.
We've got a few moments for that. Those were the people who were in a white van?
Correct. Right. Yeah, they were first seen celebrating on a roof in Weehawken, New Jersey. Then they were pulled over in a van, and it ends up that even though they're posing as art students, they were really employed by Israeli military and or Israeli intelligence. And here's what they found, George. They found $4,700 in cash on them, box cutters, maps to New York City monuments, foreign passports, plus bomb-making materials right in this van. And when they brought in the bomb-sniffing dogs, they found explosive materials. And their names were also in these FBI counterintelligence databases. And the Bergen Record even said that there was evidence found linking them to a bomb plot. So with that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And they were ultimately released.
Yeah, and Michael Chertoff, who was then in the Department of Justice, who has a dual Israeli-American citizenship, was the one ultimately responsible for freeing them. And when you find all of this evidence there, why would we release these people? And when they were asked then, after they went back to Israel, they were on an Israeli television show, they were asked, well, what were they doing on this roof in New Jersey with the camera filming this? And they said that they were there to document the event. Now ask yourself, everybody listening tonight, how many people on the morning of September 11th even knew there was going to be an event to document, yet they said they were sent there to document this event?
Right, that indicates foreknowledge.
Of course, then again, there might have been a lot of people with foreknowledge who just didn't want us to know what was going on.
Right. And, you know, one other thing, then, they worked for a company called Urban Moving Systems, where they were also on the FBI suspect list for being involved in terrorist attacks. And American intelligence in March of 2002 said that Urban Moving Systems that employed the dancing Israelis were actually a front for the Mossad. So right there we just have example after example after example linking these individuals to 9/11, yet it's been virtually untouched by everybody,
right,
that there's been research in this.
Or even brought up.
Right.
And George, I have to say, if we can discuss the Muslim role, the supposed Muslim role in 9/11, we can discuss the Christian role in 9/11, we should be able to discuss this role as well.
Well, I think you should discuss all the roles,
right,
because
exactly.
I you know, that everybody had a specific motive for this. Everybody gained in some form or fashion. As a matter of fact, the former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made a blunder when he was asked about the attacks. His first quick reply was, he said it was good, and then he quickly said, well, it's not good, but it would generate immediate sympathy.
Well, let me add two more to that. There's a guy named Ehud Sprizak, who's a terrorist expert at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and he said, from the perspective of Israelis, it is the most important public relations act ever committed in our favor. Plus, a guy named Ami Ayalon, who's the head of the Israeli military, said that since September 11th, our leaders have been euphoric. Now, George, who is euphoric? Who's ever been euphoric about 9/11? And for Netanyahu and these other two individuals to make those kind of statements, not only is it cold-hearted and evil, but there's definitely an interest in this.
And add to that, Larry Silverstein is linked to Ariel Sharon and Benjamin Netanyahu.
Again, and he's the one who had the lease on the buildings.
Right.
Correct.
All right. Now, it's also, though, entirely possible that these five who were arrested could have been working, could have been contract hirees, right? Possibility?
Well, oh, absolutely. For somebody in, I would say, the Mossad or the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. But, you know, when they flee back to Israel, when they have Michael Chertoff releasing them, who has a dual Israeli-American citizenship, that what's really the problem, I think, George, is that a lot of people that investigate 9/11 wanted to stop at Bush-Cheney. It's Bush-Cheney, and it ends there. Or a lot of people say it's this shadowy New World Order. You know, it's the New World Order, but it's kind of like Orwell's perpetual enemy. You can never really pinpoint the New World Order, someone vague. And what we're doing here is saying that 9/11 was not only an inside job, meaning that when it comes to our government, it was the Israeli firsters, the neocons, that we all know the names of Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz down the line, but also the Israeli government. So it's inside-outside job.
Interesting that this theory would come up. Do you also believe, though, that bin Laden and al-Qaeda played a role in this, or do you think not?
I think,
let me say this. The FBI is not looking for Osama bin Laden related to 9/11.
That's
they
true.
They said that there was no evidence.
Hasn't been charged with anything yet.
Right, and they also even went further and said there's not been any evidence linking him. And some of the statements in 9/11 Evil that Osama bin Laden made initially after 9/11 gives a completely different portrait, where he's pointing the finger and saying the United States government has been taken over. There's a shadow government behind them, and it all leads back to Israel. So, you know, as Lisa said, we should be able to investigate all angles.
And let the chips fall where they may.
And maybe they were all part of this.
Well, the way I see al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden is the way I see the Kennedy assassination. They were very convenient, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, I don't know. Some of the things, Victor, I've seen coming out on videotape, unless it was all made up or doctored.
How do we know the videotape is real?
Yeah, there's a guy named Vinny Sammartino who's researched all these different videotapes. And, I mean, there's a different actor playing everyone, George.
There's several versions of Osama on video.
Yeah, you have the fat Osama, the
gaunt,
skinny Osama,
right.
The one with the short nose, the one with the big nose. And, I mean, it's just the light-skinned one, the darker skin. I mean, it's just preposterous how many different Osamas they've been catering before us, yet nobody seems to be pointing it out.
Did you happen to see the ABC miniseries?
No,
on
9/11? For the last week and a half,
I know you've been traveling.
We've been traveling all down to D.C. and doing interviews and up to New York, so we've been on the road for quite a bit.
Let's take a few moments while we have to talk about Flight 93.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I just read a story in my first hour that Cheney basically admitted that he and the president had the right, authority to shoot down the plane, which I think makes it even more suspect. Mm-hmm. Here's a plane that crashed, but parts were scattered over, 5 to 8 miles?
Yes, and we went down to Shanksville earlier this year, and the theory we have in a nutshell is that Flight 93 didn't hit in Shanksville, but instead it was a missile that was shot there to create a diversion so that the actual crash site they could go. They had that cordoned off, the FBI and the Pennsylvania State Police, and that it flew over Indian Lake, and then went into Indian Lake, and then went to New Baltimore.
Yeah, we think it was shot down. Whatever flew over, something purporting to be Flight 93 was shot down over Indian Lake, Pennsylvania.
By the way, I don't. As tragic as it is, if we truly knew that it was hijacked and was headed for the White House or the Capitol or any other target, sadly enough, I think we had to shoot it down.
And you know what, George, that's a valid point, and I don't disagree with you for a second, but why can't our government just tell us the truth?
I agree with that.
So many lies, not only with 9/11, but post-9/11, that what we have is this culture of deception that is never-ending.
When you were out there at Ground Zero, did you pick up a mood? Of course, it was somber. You know, we're here to honor the dead in this very horrible tragedy. But, you know, there are policemen out there, firemen out there, I'm sure, also paying their respects. Did anybody talk about any of this out there?
Well, last year it was starting that it was a much more intense feel last year because there was more negativity directed towards people trying to hold up banners and so forth. But when we were leaving Ground Zero, there were police officers actually giving us the thumbs up even last year. So they have, you know, their hands tied in a lot of regards.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people, too, right. That were out there today, that, I mean, the police officers and the firemen are, they want the answers, too, to this thing.
Well, there are a lot more of us out there today.
Are we ever going to get the answers, Victor and Lisa?
Well, Lisa makes a good point that there's no official, we have no official body right now to...
Let's put it this way, okay? This plane, Flight 93, supposedly resulted in a crater approximately 10 feet wide, 10 feet long, 12 feet deep, no visible wreckage. There's not enough burnt area for the fuel supposedly consumed. There's a list of anomalies longer than my leg.
Yeah. Well, what I was trying to get at is that when it comes to the official truth, we can have 100. It's like the Kennedy assassination. Everybody knows it didn't happen the way the government said. But if you get a speeding ticket, George, there's an official sanctioning body that can put the clamps on you and bring you to justice.
Right.
You know, if you don't pay it, throw you in jail.
We have no compelling authority. No. If we do get the truth, who's going to punish these people and hold them accountable?
Why are we so polarized on this? Why would we have 40-some percent of the people say, you two are right on, thumbs up, keep doing. Then you get another 40% that says, you're nuts, you know, stop talking about this, you know, you're killing our government. And then you got that other handful of people who simply say, I don't know. This thing's split right down the middle.
I think it's a reflection of our country.
Right.
If you look at, you know, red state, blue state, it's a reflection.
Well, the people who watch the mainstream media believe and get their information from those venues. And then within the alternative media, you've got people who aren't necessarily working toward the truth.
You've been at this now for what, the 5 years that this has been going on?
I mean, literally from day one, yeah.
When do you stop?
Well, I don't see any end in sight for us.
When will they stop?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when they tell us the truth is when we'll stop. And it's too important, George, not only for what happened that morning, but what's happening afterwards. Really what 9/11 has become, it's become the equivalent of Orwell's perpetual war. It's that ever-ready excuse for, I mean, George Bush just said this is the war for the rest of the century. I mean, this could go on forever if they wanted to, and it all leads back to 9/11.
The people behind 9/11 and all of these other various covered-up atrocities, the wars that followed, are all psychopaths. They have no conscience, and they will keep doing it. Power is not going to concede unless it's forced to do so.
And, George, we love this country, and I was talking to someone at Ground Zero today, and even as much as we distrust our government, I said, you know what? In a lot of countries in the world, we wouldn't be allowed to do what we're doing today.
Oh, no. That's absolutely true.
And we should all remember that we have this freedom of expression, and we better use it while we can.
All right. Victor and Lisa, both of you, thanks. Your website, wingtv.net. Good luck on the jobs you two do.
Thank you very much, George.
And I'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM, offering different views and perspectives tonight on people who have been looking at this for a long time. And like I said, the polarization is right down the middle. I mean, I'm getting my fast blasts from 50% of the people think that something is very seriously wrong here with this situation. And, you know, keep up the investigation. And then there's another half of that people just don't want to hear this anymore. They just want to stop hearing this. And they don't believe that there's anything else that has happened. It's the 9/11 Commission version, and that's the way it is. And again, I think as Victor so accurately said, it's important, at least in this country, that regardless of how you feel, you have a right to feel that way. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I'm getting reports that the smoke is seen rising from the U.S. Embassy in Damascus, Syria. I've gotten that from two or three different sources here. I'll continue to monitor this story. We'll follow up to see if there's anything to this or not. By the way, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Pacific time for you Streamlink members, will be our Coast to Coast chat. I'll be there, and I hope you are too. 1 hour to sit back and just chat about things, answer your questions. And it starts at 8 o'clock Pacific time. We'll be right back with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Alex Jones, award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher, His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are at the forefront of the alternative media. Alex is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being one of the first to question the government's official story. His newest film, Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State, detailing 9/11 revelations. He was at Ground Zero in New York. Good morning, Alex.
George, I miss talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
How are you? My pleasure. Tell me, what were things like out there for you?
It was amazing. It was historic. There were over 2,000 9/11 truthers out there today, and we led a silent march earlier this morning during the period of time when the planes hit while they were reading the names. That happened this morning. So at the time that the planes hit 5 years ago, today, now in some time zones yesterday, we were there, and then we had the, quote, permit to have a, quote, sound device. So I was able to bullhorn for several hours later in the afternoon, and it was just it was amazing. And there's been a total shift. 2 years ago, I was here at Ground Zero, and I'd have to say about half the police, maybe 25% of the firemen, didn't like 9/11 truthers. Now the police literally rolled out the red carpet, even on video, because I had four different camera crews of my own there. The police on tape were saying, "We believe you. We want an investigation. We know there's a cover-up." All of the firemen had now educated themselves. They're like, "Yeah, we know Bin Laden's CIA. We know about Operation Northwoods. We checked it out." And it was incredible. There were a few people there, I would say the vast minority, that were screaming and cussing at us or grabbing on us, and the police would quickly back them away. And, of course, then Bill Doyle, the head of the biggest 9/11 victims group, has now gone public saying that he believes clearly the evidence shows that 9/11 is an inside job. And I talked to him a few weeks ago. He said that most of the members of his big 9/11 group, the folks that tried to sue Saudi Arabia and were blocked by George Bush and James Baker from doing it, and there is a clear connection there, but it's at a mid-level, they were blocked. So he now believes that the evidence clearly shows it's an inside job. And we have Bill Christensen, of course, ran an entire division of the CIA, one of the highest-level people to go public, saying clearly all the evidence shows an inside job. So there is a cascading effect here, and I brought up the victims' families, because you know, the controlled mainstream press was all day was throwing the same pitch. Hey, listen, maybe some of the families don't like it. And I would say, listen, regardless, even if they didn't and were ignorant, we're sad for them, but this is a crime that affects us all. 9/11 is being used to take our freedoms, and so we're here to expose it. We're here to speak out against it. But then I would just point out the polls that have come out, and I would point out the fact that the families have gone public. And I had a lot of the family members, victims, emergency workers come up and hug me, come up and hug us and tell us thank you. So, again, the majority now believe 9/11 is an inside job. And, of course, we have the polls. We have a Zogby poll, 68% believe there's a cover-up, 42% believe inside job. Scripps Howard News Service, 36% believe inside job. Even higher numbers than that believe in a cover-up. And one of the big shifts, and a lot of police would talk on camera, which was amazing. I mean, I had police captains smiling at me, and I'd say, "What do you think about Operation Northwoods? I've looked at it. Thanks for what you're doing. Keep investigating." We were wearing black T-shirts that said "Investigate 9/11," and it was just amazing. But one of the big reasons they're really awake now is that, of course, we've been reporting on this for 5 years, that about 40 stories of the two buildings combined literally just disappeared. That's what percentage they've calculated turned into, quote, pulverized dust. And they were built out of course, asbestos. There was mercury. There was lead. There was the concrete, all very, very toxic concrete full of lime. And when all of this got aerosolized, that huge shower thousands of feet in the air that went all over Manhattan and blew into New Jersey and the Bronx and everywhere else, when all of that happened, the EPA immediately showed up in hazmat outfits. They're people in total head-to-toe basic spacesuits almost, earth suits. They showed up, and but told the firefighters, police, emergency workers, the military, the nearby schools, hey, reopen, everything's fine. This dust is completely normal. The air quality is normal. And it turns out, of course, it's not just that the government was wrong or ignorant or didn't know. Now the documents have been released by the city of New York that had seen them. The feds are having to admit that they knew it was totally deadly, and they went ahead and didn't get the proper breathing equipment and just literally didn't care. And then Christina Todd Whitman was ordered.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex. Let me get a few words in here with you.
Oh, sure. I'm running on here. Thank you.
And just want to let you know that you are constantly in our minds, and you do a great job following up on things. But I mean, are you saying, when you say it's an inside job? I mean, do you not believe that Al Qaeda and Bin Laden had anything to do with this?
Well, George, I would love some night to just do a 9/11 program and be able to run through that. And I can break down how it was all done, and it's just monstrous. It's all cloak and dagger. It's so huge.
Yeah, but tell me about the Bin Laden tie-in. You don't believe it happened?
Let me be clear. Al-Qaeda, known as Al-Qaeda, is a creation. Okay, Zbigniew Brzezinski, former National Security Advisor, founder of the Trilateral Commission, brags that he created what today is Al-Qaeda, that actually started the war with the Russians in Afghanistan. The Senate Report 99 admits that the war on Serbia was started by Al-Qaeda, funded by the United States. They attacked the Serbs. When the Serbs fought back against Al-Qaeda, LCI-ADA, then we demonized them and went over and attacked them and leveled them and used depleted uranium on them. And I believe Ahmadinejad actually works for the New World Order. Iran is controlled by the New World Order. And I've done so much research, George, we haven't done a show on this. And just the sophistication, the diabolical levels to all of this, it's the very same Muslim extremists were used in 53.
But you believe there are Muslim extremists out there who hate us.
Yes, but they are wind-up toys.
They may be.
Of the New World Order, and they are controlled. And all of this is emanating out of the bowels of Western intelligence agencies, period. And by the way, George, it's absolutely free. My new film, Terror Storm, that I spent a year making, we uploaded it the first day to Google Video. So people just go to Google Video later, tomorrow, next week, whenever, and they type in Terror Storm. I made an $85,000 film, a lot of money for me, and I just put it out for free. That's how important it is. Terror Storm, right at 2 hours long, and it details the history of government-sponsored terrorism. Iran had an elected pro-America government, but they weren't going to let British Petroleum have all of the oil, at the time, Anglo-American oil. And so what happened is, this is all declassified, they sent in CIA commander Kermit Roosevelt, who hired the mullahs, the Ayatollah Khomeini's predecessors, and Kermit Roosevelt personally, and he's gone public. He wrote a book about it. He's very proud of it before he died in 99, and he went on national radio and the rest of it. They brag about it and staged terror attacks all over Iran, blamed it on Mohammad Mossadegh, and then they put the Shah in, and then later in 79, they flew Ayatollah Khomeini in and put him into place. Then they had the Iran-Contra deal with him, staging all of that with the hostages and the arms deals. Again, it's the same story. Our government then sent $45 million through Bill Clinton in 1997 to then start and fund the KLA, Kosovo Liberation Army, to attack the Serbs. And so I'm sick of hearing, the fake conservatives who are out there on TV and radio everywhere who then, come out and say, well, see, we've got this huge threat, the Muslim fascists, they're going to get us, the Islamo-fascists. But they never want to talk about these historical facts. Where is this emanating? It's just like our government, along with the British government, it's mainstream news, funded and created Hitler. They create these people to then knock them down while at the same time taking our freedoms. That's the point. There's several levels, as you know, George, of sophistication above all of this. So I don't deny that there's this threat and this stuff is happening. The point is, who is directing it? Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Well, I agree with that. I think, I've always said, as you know, Alex, that Bin Laden is a hired hitman. I've been saying it all night.
I know. And George, your courage in the last 4 years has really energized 9/11 Truth. And you have given sophisticated analysis, multi-level analysis. You've given not both sides, but dozens of different angles from every level of the strata. And so for people that tune into your show, they're able to get that when you do the serious, you know, shows where you get into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, you know, people say, well, what do you think of George Norrie? What do you think of what he's saying? You know, one day he's got you on, next day he's got somebody else on saying something completely different. And really you're not. You're taking people through the different angles,
possibilities, and trying to give everyone who does not believe in the cookie-cutter version an opportunity to express their views and why they feel that way.
Well, no, that's really it. You just hit it. The official story is a fraud end to end. The 9/11 Commission was not independent. It was appointed by Bush. And again, Bush himself is a puppet in all of this. This is, everybody knows, presidents are just frontmen these days. And so people need to understand that 9/11 Truth is the key, because we are losing our freedoms. 9/11 is being used to turn us into a police state. We told people that the dust was deadly poisonous. We were called conspiracy theorists. Now it's all over the New York papers that it was totally documented. The government knew and just didn't care about the firefighters and blocked the funding for them to get treatment. I've had dinner with, I've given speeches with in the last 3 days here in New York with firefighters, military people, police, who literally are coughing up blood while you're talking to them. They're dying. All the rescue dogs have now died. They've got asbestosis. Mount Sinai's done the test. It is so horrible to see that happen. So they're now starting to wake up. But 9/11 Truth transcends left and right. We warned everybody about the North American Union. You did years ago. Now Lou Dobbs talks about it. Now CNN talks about it. Now major publications discuss it. Now Jerome Corsi's discovered it and gotten a lot of attention. I was talking about it 10 years ago from documents getting laughed at. We only cover what's really happening. I mean, how many Americans still don't know that last March the deal was signed to get rid of the United States and we are now in the North American Union? Well, your listeners know, but that's about it.
Yeah.
How many people know that they're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines? How many people know there's mercury in them? How many people know that there is a diabolical elite that wants to reduce our population and bring in a one-world government? I mean, that's why I made Terror Storm and put it out for free at Google Video. All I want people to do is go see the new film and learn the full magnitude of what we're facing, because my passion lies in just getting the truth out, and I only go where the truth is. And believe me, folks, I wish this wasn't true on this fifth anniversary. It is so painful to me. It is frightening. It is terrifying. It is horrifying to know that we are under the gun at such an incredibly dangerous level. But it's even more dangerous to live in denial and to not admit to ourselves just how far things have gone. I mean, 9/11 is a war against freedom. The war on terror is a war against our liberties and our freedoms. I mean, even if you believe the official story of 9/11, our government has done nothing to secure the borders. They're actually less secure than they were, and they've done everything they can to butcher the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And I love this country, and that's why I talk about these hard facts, George.
I'll tell you what, Alex, all the guests that I've had on in the past, all of you may have the answer, either in pieces or in total. Maybe not at all.
It's a puzzle.
But I think it's a puzzle, and I think you all have pieces of the puzzle. Some of you may have five pieces. The other people may have three. But eventually, maybe we're going to see the entire picture.
Well, exactly. 5 years later, the puzzle's gotten a lot clearer. I mean, the entire puzzle is not filled in, but it's getting down to the last 20 or 30 pieces, and this is a big jigsaw. It's getting closer and closer and closer, and the picture is getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And that's why 5 years later, on camera, I would say, excuse me, will you say that again? And I'd swing a camera around, and there'd be a police captain, you know, in official dress uniform saying, yeah, we know something's going on. Keep investigating. Yeah, we know. We know you're right. There has been a total, George, total shift. I was blown away by it. I mean, these polls show a majority of Americans think there's a cover-up, and a majority of that majority believe it's an inside job. But to see almost all the firemen, one fireman did flip us off, But he was from New Jersey and wasn't involved in the disaster. We talked to him. But I mean, I probably talked to over 100 firemen, and they were just, they knew all about it. And the, again, and then the vast majority of the police, not 99% like the firemen, but I'd have to say about 70%, is a total shift from what we saw just 2 years ago when I was here on 9/11 and then before with the RNC. Before that, back in 2004 as well, just because people have had time to sit back. There's been some time. They've looked at the evidence. They heard us talk about, quote, conspiracy theories. They went and researched them, and they found out that something real was there. I mean, I was here 2 years ago telling the police and firemen, go to the, you know, the web and type in Operation Northwoods, the official government plan to carry out 9/11 style attacks. And now I'm saying, check out Operation Northwoods. And they go, we know. We looked at it. They planned it. I mean, it was just, I'm blown away. This is a total shift. This was so historical. We went in Bullhorn, Spitzer's office. We asked them to open another investigation. I mean, even people that don't believe it's an inside job believe there's a cover-up of something. They smell a rat, and they want a real independent investigation. And that's what, George, that's what you've been doing with one of the biggest radio programs in the country. You have been, you know, really having a real investigation on air. You've been fair from so many different sides. And that's why I always salute you, George. I really appreciate what you've done, and I've been honored to be part of this historical broadcast.
Well, you get some sleep. It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning out there in New York where you are, and I'm sure you're going to have another busy morning, Alex.
Yeah, it's like we've got to quit meeting like this. The good old days when I would just stay up.
You had normal hours.
Yeah. Last time I was at the Bilderberg group up in Canada. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, where they took you away for a little bit.
Yeah, I was 5 times tireder then, but I've been out bullhorning all day. I've been marching for 3 days, and we're having a real breakthrough right now. This movement is a juggernaut of truth, as Charlie Sheen said at the 9/11 event out in L.A. a few months ago. It is a juggernaut. Its momentum is here. We've got the initiative, and we've got the higher ground. And we've got the truth, and we are going to get the truth, and we're going to defend this nation from enemies, foreign and domestic, George.
All right, Alex. You take care. Alex's website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Get some sleep, Alex.
Thank you, George.
Alex Jones. I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, it appears, according to a resident or two outside of Damascus, that the U.S. Embassy may be coming under attack. Information, as I mentioned, is very sketchy, but smoke is rising around the U.S. Embassy area. The sounds of heavy gunfire also heard around the complex. This could be the impetus to start something in Syria. I do not know, but something is happening there. When does it end? I'll be back in a moment. We've got a little statement from Howard Bloom. We'll get his take on it, and then we'll go into open lines with a very specific question to you. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.